Matthew chapter 27, beginning in verse 32, that is page 810 in whatever Bible you're using. Matthew chapter 27, we're going to begin reading in verse 32. We're going to read through verse 44. It's page 810, and we're going to read with our outside voices so everybody on Facebook can hear you reading. Matthew 27, verse 32. As they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he wants to, for he said, 'I am God's son.'" The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. Thank you so much. You can be seated. There are two sites in Jerusalem in which they attribute to being the place where Jesus was crucified and where he was buried. There is one that is recognized primarily by the Roman Catholic Church and is called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. It was built by Constantine the Great in 326 CE or AD in the heart of the Old City. The day we visited, it was crowded, lines of people to get in. When you walk in the door, you go down a few steps, you walk in this sepulchre, and there is probably for me to where Carl is sitting, is a stone that is wet. They call it the anointing stone. And there were women gathered around it, wiping it with pieces of cloth, and then taking them and rubbing them on themselves. There was a long line, probably about 2.5 hours long, our guide told us, that descended down into this sepulchre and walked by a cave in which it was said it is where Christ was buried. But there's another site called the Garden of the Tomb that is more of a non-denominational site. It is recognized by most Protestant denominations as the probable site where Jesus was crucified and buried. And as you sit there in a little auditorium and you look to your right-hand side, there is a rock wall that is shaped like a cross. And then just probably 20 feet away from that is a tomb. As we sat there at the garden tomb, our guide shared with us that despite the opening lines of the old rugged cross on a hill far away, that Jesus was not buried on a hill, that he was not buried on the top of the mountain. That Jesus was, crucified, but actually Jesus was crucified at the base. Now, what we call a mountain, we think of the Rockies, the Smokies. What they call a mountain, we would just say is a really big hill. But Jesus was not crucified at the top, but rather he was crucified at the base, at the bottom, because Rome wanted to make sure that everyone could see what happened to anyone who went against the Roman government. And so Jesus was crucified at the base of a hill, by a road where people could pass by and could see him and the two thieves hanging on this cross with the charges nailed to the cross over their head. That this one was charged with being a thief. This one was charged with robbery. But the one on the middle cross was charged with being the King of the Jews. So as we read in our text, as Jesus is hanging on this cross and people are passing by, a crowd begins to gather, and they not only included those who followed him to the site, but those who are just simply walking by. Matthew 27, verse 39 says, "Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads." And then in Mark's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 29, it says, "Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, 'Aha, you who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself.'" As we read in our text, the common cry of the spectators was this: "Come down from the cross." We read it in Matthew 27, verse 40 and verse 42. "If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. He saved others, he cannot save himself." And then in verse 42, "He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him." Mark put it this way in the 15th chapter, verse 32. "Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross so that we may see and believe." And then Luke recorded it in Luke chapter 23, verse 35. "And the people stood by watching him, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, 'He saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Messiah, the chosen one, come down from the cross.'" That was the cry. Come down from the cross. Prove to us. Separate yourself from the cross and prove to us that you are the Son of God. All the things that he had done in the past for the past 3 years, walking on water, feeding 5,000, healing the blind, raising the dead, causing the lame to walk, a woman with the issue of blood touches him and is healed. A woman caught in the act of adultery is saved from stoning. Lazarus comes out of the tomb. Jesus walks on the water. All the things that he had done. And yet they come down to this place of crucifixion. And here is their cry: "If you are the Son of God, if you are who you say you are, come down from the cross. And by doing so, we will finally believe you." Come down from the cross. There's something about the cross in their day. The cross represented the most cruel form of Roman punishment. The cross represented a slow, agonizing death that could last for days. The cross represented the most harshest penalty that Rome could unleash upon someone. The cross represented death in its most cruel fashion. And yet, even today, the cry of our culture to those who say, "I am a follower of Jesus," is this: come down from the cross. What the cross represented to Rome and what the cross represented to the Jews was death. It represented a horrible death. It represented a death that was reserved for the most heinous crimes or the most hardened criminals. Those that prison could not reform. Those that being flogged could not reform. Those that being beaten could not reform. Only those were brought to the cross. But in the world in which we live in today, in our culture, the cross stands totally against much of what we see in our culture today. And the cry of the world is to the church: come down from the cross. Separate yourself from the cross. Don't be so idealistic. Don't be so hard. Don't be so strict. don't be such an adherent to the Word of God that you can't conform a little bit. You can't bend a little bit. You can't be flexible a little bit. The cross still today, just as it did to Rome, the cross still represents death. But it represents death to the church, or death of the church to the culture in which we find ourselves. Those who come to the cross recognize that I am turning my back on the way that I used to live, the way that I used to act, the way that I used to talk, the habits that used to bind me. I am turning my back on that, and I am presenting myself to the cross. I am dying to the way I used to live. I am dying to the way I used to act. I am dying to the things I used to do. And in doing so, it may mean that I have to die to some of the friends that are part of my circle who want to indulge on those things that I'm now saying I am dead to those things. You can't, as a believer, climb up on the cross and then just jump down whenever you want to. You can't climb up on the cross on Sunday morning, but then on Friday night, when all your old buddies are around the house, jump down from the cross and say, well, I'll climb back up Sunday. When you come to the cross, you are nailed to the cross. You are affixed to the cross. You're affixed to the cross of Christ and everything that it represents and everything that it stands for and everything it symbolizes. And our world today looks at the cross and says, that's too harsh. That's too much of a cost. That is too high a requirement. I don't see why you have to be crucified to the world and to the affections thereof. Why can't you just do your Sunday thing, but then during the rest of the week, do your other thing? Jesus was not affixed to the cross with a bungee cord. He wasn't affixed to the cross with a rubber band that he could cut down and jump, come down whenever he wanted to. Jesus was nailed to the cross. It was no coming down. This is the place where you die. And so when Jesus says to us, take up my cross and follow me, he's not saying when it's convenient for you, when the cross fits in with your lifestyle. He is saying, take up the cross, be nailed to the cross, die on the cross. It's not an idea. It's not a suggestion. It's not a request. It's not a proposition. It's not even an option. It is, you go to the cross, you die on the cross. Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 6, verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. Galatians 6:14. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Our culture says that is too drastic. You're trying to be holiness. You're trying to be legalistic. You're just trying to be nitpicky. You're trying to judge other people and condemn other people. You're trying to say, well, my way's the only way. You've climbed up on a soapbox. No, you and I have climbed up on a cross. And we don't climb up on the cross to judge other people, to judge their actions, to judge their choices. But on that cross, we have to say, I'm sorry, I have died to sin, and I'm alive to Christ. One of the issues we have in our culture today is our world looks at the church and they see primarily an empty cross. They see a cross up on a steeple. They see a cross out in front of the door. They see a cross nailed to a wall. But when they look at the church, not the building, they look at the people. They see no cross. Cross. Aren't you glad we're having lunch today and I'll have some pie or something to get me all sweet again? The reason that we are in the process we're in right now is not because we're judging anyone. It's not because we're looking down our nose at anyone. It's not because we're saying, oh, get away from me if you do that, or that. No, we are in the situation we're in now because we say that this Word, God's Word, the Bible, directs our life. And it directs the path we follow. And we can't go down this path or that path because our friends are going down that path or because our culture is going down that path. We go down this path, and this path brings us always to the cross. It's the only path this book takes. This book will always take you to the cross. Come down from the cross. That was the message of those who watched Jesus die. Come down from the cross is the same message that you might hear. It may not be in those words, but it may be the very same message you hear from family, from friends, from your employer, from your peers, from your siblings, from the people you hang out with. Come down from the cross. Why don't you do those things with us you used to do? Because I've been nailed to a cross. Why don't you watch porn? Because I've been nailed to a cross. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Because I've been nailed to a cross. Doesn't mean that I'm nailed to a cross to look down on somebody and judge them and pick at them and say, oh my goodness, look at them. No. It's because Christ calls us, take up not my cross. He didn't say, take up my cross and follow me. He said, take up your cross and follow me. I want to encourage you. You and I, and I want to make sure we all understand this, that we don't get on the cross to judge other people. We don't get on the cross to condemn other people. We don't get on the cross to point to this group or this store or that store and say, oh my goodness, look at them, look at that, look at this. No. The main one I have to die to on the cross isn't to someone who is following this lifestyle or that lifestyle or they're doing this or doing that. The one I have to die to is Rodney. I have to die to my attitudes. I have to die to my temperament. I have to die to my wants. I have to die to what I want to do and how I think things ought to be done and the way I think things could be. I have to die on the cross in order to live with Sherry. And I mean that in a good way. I have to die on the cross to be a father, to be a husband. Because the issue that I have in my life is not what Target is doing, it's what Rodney's doing. It's the things Rodney's prone to. It's the patterns that have been in Rodney's life. And that has to be nailed to the cross. So when I'm nailed to the cross, I'm not looking down at anybody. I'm looking up to the Holy Spirit and saying, Holy Spirit, do this work. Do the work of the cross in every area of my life. Do the work of the cross in my attitude. Do the work of the cross in my vocabulary. Do the work of the cross in my habits. Do the work of the cross in the way I act as a husband, the way I act as a father. Do the work of the cross in my life. So here's the word of the Lord for us today. Don't try to get down from the cross. Don't try to get down from the cross. If you end up being the only one who makes a stand, stay on the cross. Gracious Father, you sent your Son Jesus not only to live before us, but to die for us, to call us to the cross, to call us to the place where we lay ourselves on the cross and we say, Lord, let my nature, let my wants, let my actions, let my habits, let my patterns, let them die so that Christ lives in me, through me, in every area of my life. It's costly to crawl on the cross. Father, it cost your Son Jesus his life, and the cost for us is no different. Father, I pray that we would not come down from the cross, that we would not be those who visit the cross and then go about our lives, but Father, we would be those who lay ourselves down on the cross and say, here I die, and yet here I will live. In Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you to take your hymnal.